Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. This is Pastor Al Davis. I'm glad to be with you this week. Thanks to Pastor John Lutz for filling in for me last week. I was down in Ripley, West Virginia, listening to him as he came on. I had the 1220 phone app. If you listen to the programs here on 1220 and you're not able to get online sometime or listen on the radio like you're traveling like I was last week, you can download the phone app. I got an Android type phone and it worked pretty good for me. So I was listening until I lost the cell towers down in the mountains there in West Virginia, but I was on my way home and enjoyed the first half of the program. And so I want to thank Pastor Lutz for filling in for me and Brother Maletti and his wife for helping out there. And what I heard was good. And I heard they almost had to be pulled out of the studio, though later on they just got used to being here. But no, I'm glad they were on there, and it was a good program earlier as well, listening to Pastor Lutz coming into the station. But we're going to be on here till 2 o'clock this afternoon, followed by Pastor Andy Rusnacko from the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. Another good program. I hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. I'm going to get into a couple of things here today, but we also have our phone number is open. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and you can get on the program here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. I would just pray that you would bless the program and use it for your glory today. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage people, Lord, as we look into your word together. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this is Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And our contact information, all that will be coming up here at the end of the program. And just a reminder, you can visit us at our Bible study tonight if you're not doing anything on Friday night. And you can continue the conversation there. We meet at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's Northern Summit County, right where the Ohio Turnpike crosses Interstate 77, right there on Brecksville Road. And we meet in the Holiday Inn Express, as I said, and we would love to have you come. It's an informal Bible study. And we allow you to ask questions about whatever you want to ask questions about. Sometimes we'll stick with one subject or question for most of the evening. Other times we'll go through a dozen questions. Sometimes we concentrate a little more on current events in light of God's Word. Sometimes we concentrate more on pure theological discussions and doctrinal issues. And of course, that reflects the program itself, where we welcome your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can find us online at Live with Pastor Al, or I'm sorry, yeah, livewithpastoral.com. It's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us, or you can go online, our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And we try to do a Facebook live broadcast too, which we're doing right now. We've got that going. So welcome if you're on Facebook Live as well as on listening to us on the radio today. But again, those phone numbers, 888-677-9673. That's a number you can join us with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Wanted to mention something what's obviously has been in the news all week. You can't have not heard about this unless you've basically been living under a rock, as they say. Is the guy out in Las Vegas that opened fire on that country music concert and killed, the death toll was at 59. They reduced it to 58, I heard this morning. That's not counting the shooter, who may or may not have killed himself. There's conflicting reports that either he saw them coming in and killed himself, or he was actually killed by the police as they breached the room with the gunfire. It is a sad situation. In fact, there is a security guard who was alerted to that room because there's a guy who is, I believe, is an Army veteran who was staying in the room just below him, I guess, and heard the noise and alerted the hotel security. And the security guard, when he came, was met by a hail of bullets that the guy in the room turned his gun on the hallway. And the way he knew the security guard was coming is he had wired the hallway with cameras so that he could observe what was going on in the hallway. And, you know, and so it brings up a couple of things I wanted to say. And again, the security guard was wounded, I believe, in his leg, and not life-threatening so far as I know, but he was able to get to safety and alert the police. And apparently it was around about that time that the guy in the room stopped firing on the crowd, because then he paid attention to the hallway, knowing that the police would probably be there soon. But other disturbing thing there is that he had apparently been trying to get tracer bullets that he could add into his ammo clips. And the whole purpose of tracer bullets, really, considering he had cameras filming himself, or, you know, taping himself, apparently there was cameras in the room trained on where he was. It's as if he was making recordings for some purpose. And the tracers in the magazines would have given you lights streaking down. You know, if you think of some of the science fiction movies where they shoot the laser at somebody and you see the little beam shoot across the, it would be kind of that effect, because the tracer bullets, they don't really do anything in terms of making what he was doing more lethal, but it would make what he was doing more frightening. And that again leads to the very disquieting thing that we have not been able to rule out, is that as the sheriff out in Las Vegas said, that this guy may have been radicalized, meaning that he may have converted to Islam, and this may have been an actual jihadist Islamic terror attack. The other thing that lends some credence to that is the fact that ISIS very quickly claimed credit for that. When people said, "Oh no, there's no evidence there," they doubled down and redoubled and redoubled their efforts, including their little magazine that they put out online and in different locations, featuring him kind of as the jihadi of the month. And they're claiming that he was one of them. And now they could be lying. That's absolutely true. And I recognize that. But if they are, it would be the first time that they've lied about this, because ISIS may be a lot of things and may have done a lot of things. But one of the things they haven't done is falsely claim responsibility for terror attacks that they were not connected to. And so if they were not connected, this would be the first time that they claimed that. And there's other rumors flying around that he might have actually been an Antifa follower or something like that. More is going to come out in the future. But I wanted to use that episode there actually to talk about something too. Oh, I will give you a couple things that we know he's not. This is almost sort of tongue in cheek, but I am serious with this too. We know that he is not a Christian, because if the media had any whiff that the man was a Christian, the liberal media in this country would have broadcast out all over the place. We know that he was not a right-wing fanatic of some sort, because they would have broadcast that all over the place. We know he wasn't an NRA member, despite the fact that what's her name? I think it's Nancy Sinatra, the daughter of Frank Sinatra, is saying, you know, basically saying that the NRA is complicit in this and that, and they should all be shot. You know, somewhat of a interesting choice of expressions that she had. But if he was an NRA member, this would certainly be broadcast by the leftist media in this country. We know he was not a Tea Party activist. That would have certainly been broadcast. So I guess what we do know is that we know that the man was not a right-wing, he wasn't a Republican either. That would have been broadcast. So we can be reasonably sure that he is not a right-wing Republican NRA member, Tea Party activist Christian. But whatever his motivation was, I believe that the ultimate motivation comes down to the fact that the Bible says that we are in a spiritual battle. And there's a battle for men's souls going on in this world. And this man and what he did and the evil that he is guilty of, whatever his motivation, whether he was, and one thing we know that he didn't do, we know that he's not somebody that just flipped out and started shooting people, because everything he did points to months of meticulous planning and preparation. You don't just flip out and do something like he did with all the planning and everything. But what I'm getting at is there is real evil in the world. And this evil and this battle that we're in, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. We wrestle, the Bible says, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know that the devil is active in the world. We know that the spirit of iniquity is already at work in the world, according to the Bible. And so we see evil things happen on occasion. Now, I'm not trying to justify what's going on there. I am trying to point out that this is very definitely a example of evil that's in the world today, because we live in a fallen world. We have a very real enemy, the devil, and he tries to promote death and destruction and chaos and everything that he can. One of the reasons that he does this, and there's a great book by Oliver B. Green. Some of you may remember Oliver B. Green. My wife and I were traveling. We traveled down to North Carolina last week, and while we were down there, somewhere on the radio in the middle of someplace out in North Carolina, I was listening to a station, and they were broadcasting an old Oliver B. Green tape. And I was listening to him, and when I first came on, I kept thinking, oh, this voice is awful familiar. And like I said, for some of you, you may remember Oliver B. Green, great evangelist. He used to be on the radio a lot, on a lot of Christian stations around the country, and you can still find him sometimes on some stations like this little one down in North Carolina that I heard. And you can also find some of his books. I always liked Oliver B. Green. I've got a number of his books at home. And he has a little book that he published some time ago. And of course, Oliver B. Green has been with the Lord for a number of years now. But he published a little thin book called Why Does the Devil Desire to Damn You? And meaning in terms of the biblical sense of the word, to condemn. And what he came down to in it was that the devil cannot hurt God directly, so therefore he wants to hurt that which God loves. And that's absolutely true. That's what the devil is trying to do. And that's why we see some of these things happening on occasion. In Romans chapter 3, here's a passage here. Let me read a portion here. And this is something that I thought of when following some of this news on this shooter out in Las Vegas. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, starting verse 10, he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he's talking about humanity here. All of us have gone astray. I should have started reading verse number 9 where the sentence started. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Meaning as believers, are we better than the Jewish people, or Gentiles better than the Jewish people because we found Christ? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, as he said here. And see, the thing of it is that we do not become sinners because we do bad things, because we do sinful things, and then we do enough sinful things and we become sinners. We have this idea, and it's a mistaken notion. It comes from man's attempts to understand or rationalize or make more palatable things that the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that God is absolutely perfect in his holiness, in his righteousness. In every way, God is absolutely perfect. And in him, there is no imperfection whatsoever. There is no sin. There is no unrighteousness. There is no iniquity. God is absolutely perfect. And we're not. But we get this idea that we're okay until we've sinned a certain amount, and then we become sinners. Well, let me ask you this. How many things do you have to steal before you become a thief? Well, just one thing. How many people do you have to kill to become a murderer? Well, just one person. So how many sins do you have to commit in order to become a sinner? Oh, yeah, a couple hundred, right? No, just one sin. One sin is enough to make you a sinner, in that sense of it. But in reality, you are already a sinner before you commit that one sin. You commit the sin because you're a sinner. Now, when I grew up, we grew up on a small farm, and we had chickens, and we had goats, and we had some cattle, and we had some horses and a donkey, and some pigs and different things like that. And when you looked at those different animals, we had the chickens there in the chicken yard, and they ate bugs, and they ate seeds off from plants. We would throw stuff out to them, and they would eat that up, and we'd eat watermelon, spit the seeds at them, and they would gobble up the seeds, and we would play games trying to see who could, shoot the seeds to which chicken we wanted to eat it and things like that, and they went for that sort of stuff. Now, the goats, well, goats ate anything, so I probably won't use the goats, but the cattle, if you were out there eating a piece of watermelon, spitting seeds at them, they would just look at you and go back to eating the grass. But the chickens ran over and they went for those seeds. The reason is the chickens went for those seeds because they were acting on their nature. They were chickens. The cattle just kind of ignored you because they were acting on their nature. They were cattle. And speaking of goats, the goats, we would have them, and it didn't matter if the goat was standing up to its chin in nice luscious grass in the pasture, if there was a fence there, they would lean against the fence to try and get some scrawny little blade of grass on the other side of the fence, just because it was on the other side of the fence. And if they got on the other side of the fence, then you can bet they'd be pushing against the fence again. So they're always trying to push against the fence. They're always trying to try to get to the other side. That was their nature. The pigs were always wallowing in the mud. That was their nature. And different animals have their nature. Well, our nature is we have a sin nature. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so that sin nature has to be kept under control. And there's basically several ways that we attempt to do it. One of the ways is by laws. We have laws, and God has laws. And we think of that shooter out in Las Vegas. How many laws did he break? And you hear, of course, people saying, oh, we've got to have more laws. If we only had more laws, he would not have done that. We need more gun laws. He wouldn't have done that if there had been more gun laws. Well, Chicago, which has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, probably in the world, hey, how's that working out for Chicago? Gun violence, people gunned down on the streets. Saw a statistic one time that said you were safer in Baghdad during the Iraqi war than you were in Chicago, because of the people being gunned down every night on the street. So how's that gun law making guns illegal in Chicago working? The other thing that gun laws were doing in Chicago is keeping hands out of the law-abiding citizens. It's not like the lawbreakers are going to say, oh, there's a law, I'm going to get rid of my guns. In fact, think about this. The guy that shot up those people in Las Vegas, do you think he broke any laws when he did it? Well, let me tell you, isn't it against the law to kill people with a gun indiscriminately, to shoot people and mow them down indiscriminately? I think that's against the law. He broke that law. That didn't seem to stop him. Well, if only there had been a sign on the hotel that said, no weapons allowed, I'm sure that would have stopped him. I mean, look at how many businesses put up those no guns allowed signs, no weapons allowed signs, and they think they're protecting themselves. Well, that guy came into that hotel, and you know, you would have thought that he'd have seen the sign, he'd have said, oh, no guns allowed in this hotel, I better put my guns back in the car, I can't bring them in there, I don't want to break the law. No, he's already a lawbreaker. And you add a couple more laws, he's still going to break them. You know, the guy that's going to rob someplace, he comes up to the thing with his gun and he says, oh, there's a sign that says no weapons allowed, I think I better put my weapon back in the car because I don't want to break the law when I rob this place. No, he's already a law breaker before he commits those unlawful deeds. The Bible has a number of laws. God said, thou shalt not kill. He's talking about murder there. He's not talking about in the course of battle. He's not talking about capital punishment. He's not talking about self-defense. He's talking about murder. I don't have time to get into all that right now, but there's a law in the Bible that says, thou shalt not kill. And yet, how many people have done that? We're not supposed to steal. And yet, how many people do that? These things are all in the Bible. And here's what the Bible says about God, about people. We're not righteous. We don't seek after God. There's none that do good. No, not one, the Bible says. And the problem is we have this sin nature, and a lot of times we think, oh, I can just pass a law and that'll keep people in line. Oh, if I just obey the law, I'll be okay. And people go to churches and churches tell them, if you just obey the law, then you'll be okay. And here's what the Bible says here in Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Did you catch that? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, and Galatians chapter 3, chapter 4 has a lot to say about the law. And Paul tells us that the law in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, in verse 25, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. See, the purpose of the law is not to be something there that we violate and we become lawbreakers. The law is there to show us that we're already lawbreakers, that we're already sinners at heart. If I'm driving down the road at 50 miles an hour and I think I'm okay, and then I come upon a speed limit sign, and the sign says, speed limit, 40 miles an hour. I now know that I'm speeding. That law or that sign that said the speed limit is 40 did not make me a speeder. I was a speeder already. I just wasn't aware of it. That's what God's law does. And God's law shows us that we're sinners already. The law cannot save us. It's by faith that we're saved through Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. The law is our schoolmaster. It's to show us our sin, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But here's the great news. The Bible says back in Romans chapter 3, starting verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, remember, he's absolutely perfect in his holiness, in his righteousness. The righteousness of God without the law, the Bible says, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's the scriptures. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That's the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. At the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that righteousness is upon you, God's righteousness. He says, for all have sinned in verse 23 and come short of the glory of God. But then he says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's the payment through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. That's not your righteousness. Remember, our righteousness as filthy rags. His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier, him which believeth in Jesus. Trust Christ as your Savior. That's the true source of righteousness. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.